Well, my thanks to Mary,
to John, to Andrew for leading our service this morning, and to Naomi. Great preparation for this theme, as we've already explored it together, of faithfulness. May I explain for any visitors who are with us, we're working on a Sunday morning through a series looking at the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Do take one of these cards on the way out if you want to see where we've been and where we're going in the last few weeks to come. That's the plan. And what we're looking at really is what God wants to do in the life of every man and woman. The fact that his love is so amazing for us, and he wants to reach out to us and show us his son Jesus. We're going to be thinking about the Lord Jesus in a moment and his death on a cross, which was to achieve not just that we would have eternal life after we die, but that even in this life we would know more of his life in us. And him shaping us rather like a lump of clay. Him working his plans and purposes into us. And so there is this list of 9 fruits of the Spirit, as we refer to them. That aspects, if you like, of the life of Jesus in us. Which is amazing that he wants to work in us like that. This evening, let me encourage you to come along if you possibly can at 6:30. Because we have Tim Martin coming to speak to us. Following on in terms of whether this could be a possible associate pastor. We look forward to hearing and meeting Tim and his wife Melody. But you know, even regardless of what is at stake, this evening is another opportunity to hear God's word, particularly in Galatians 5, this bit of the fruits of the Spirit. And Tim has decided he'll speak into that for us, and so we look forward to all that God has this evening. Now, as we come to it, particularly I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this phrase at the end of, well, in fact, verse 24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And what we've already noticed on the series Sunday by Sunday is that these fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and so on, all the way through to this one of faithfulness, we don't do by ourselves. We can't get by ourselves. We can try hard, we can put all our effort into these things, but ultimately we are made in the image of God Almighty, and so in a sense it's his work in us from the beginning. But in Christ, what happens is permission is given for him to start to work these things out even more. So he shapes us, he ripens the fruit, if you like. He's equipping us to do it, to be faithful. Now, in these few minutes together, as I have the chance to unwrap this theme of faithfulness a bit more, I sense with some of the others, like patience or kindness, we easily know our deficiencies. Perhaps if you're like me, you sort of know out of that list of 9, well, I'm not so good at this and I'm not so good at that one. But that one I'm pretty good at. Well, I wonder how you respond to faithfulness. One after another of us will say, well, I'm pretty faithful. Maybe referring to a context of life. Maybe if it's to do with the marriage bond particularly, there'll be those who will say, well, I'm faithful in my marriage. But here's where the press and the crunch question comes. You know, you can be faithful even in marriage, and yet in your mind and in your heart be a million miles away from your marriage partner. That's the blunt reality. And here what we know is that the opposite of faithfulness is unfaithfulness, and God is wanting to create a people who are faithful to him and faithful in the way that we go about life. So let's look at this. I've only got a couple of points really, but a few tucked in as ever. So there's the list of all the fruits of the Spirit and faithfulness. We're nearly there in the series. The best example of faithfulness is simply God himself. And Andrew has so helpfully led us this morning, starting the service with this very great reminder that God is faithful. Now, boy, do we need that in situations of life where everything is crashing in, sometimes really tough and difficult. Sometimes confusion reigns all about us. But just to know this, that even though I'm unsteady half the time, God remains faithful. Let me back that up with some of the scriptures, some of the Bible that speaks this to us. So it's not my words this morning, it's the Bible's words, God's word to us. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13 in the New Testament says this, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And why I've chosen that as the first verse to just think about for a moment is because God in his very character is faithful. That's God. Not somehow that we have to impress God or do certain things to work our way up to God. But as we remind ourselves regularly again and again, though we don't deserve God's goodness and favour, he remains faithful. Now, this is a task of every generation, of course, to pass the message on. And so the second reference, in fact, Andrew very helpfully, with no collaboration whatsoever, started the service this morning reading these verses from Psalm 89, 1 and 2. I will make your faithfulness known, the psalmist writes, through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. And in a sense, I guess most of us will just nod our heads to that because, yep, that sounds good. God is faithful. We can relax. And yet the challenge to us who are progressing through the decades, in other words, getting older, is how do we pass this message on of God's faithfulness to the next generation coming up? We've just seen our young people, our children going out, and thank God for every one of them. But our message is to pass the baton of the good news that God is faithful to them. So that as they're growing up, they won't just know this as head knowledge, but they will start to understand it for themselves in everyday life. Of course, there's the challenge to those of us who are parents, to those of us who lead groups, those who have responsibility to pray for our young people who are coming through, that they too will grasp something of God's great faithfulness. He is utterly trustworthy. He cannot let us down because of who he is. Now, we need this message all the more, dare I say, in this generation where so often loads of us have been let down by one and another. Or society has let us down, or the system, or whatever else you want to point a finger. We've got people damaged from all sorts of walks of life who've been let down in all reality. And even in church this morning, some of us have a pain within because of what has happened to us. And I mention this in the context of generations passing it on because I was privileged to have loving grandparents and parents for that matter. I'm looking at the grandparent responsibility here. On my maternal side, they didn't know Jesus. They were not Christians, but boy, did they love us, and it was great security in that. But on my dad's side, they were Christians, and I just remember my grandmother because my grandfather died when I was one, but she talked of God's faithfulness all the time. You could have said she went on about it too much. Can you go on about God's faithfulness too much? Not a bit. And she had proven God through difficult days in concentration camp, as she had been for a few years. The love of a mother trying to bring her family up in a concentration camp. And there was this woman, as I would have known her in her later years, who died when I was 16, the night before my biology GCSE, who spoke of God's faithfulness, who carried a leg around that was huge. She was bitten by an insect in the tropics. And for most of her life carried this heavy leg that was about that size around, speaking of God's faithfulness, telling her grandchildren of God's faithfulness. Now here's the deal this morning with the seventh out of ninth of these fruit. God is our best example of faithfulness. And as we go to him and relate to him through Jesus his son, he draws us in to become recipients of that faithfulness, that covenant-making God that he is. And it's very much linked to the faithfulness of his son, the Lord Jesus. So I've linked the Trinity here, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because as we'll in a moment share in a simple meal together, bread and wine is what we've been instructed to eat and drink. It's a reminder of the one who was faithful all the way to his death. See, friends, the reminder that Jesus kept going all the way to his death. I hope if we have time to read a few verses around the table from Luke, which will remind us that Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion, knowing what was ahead, sweating blood as it were, and praying if only God the Father would take this cup from him, he could find a way out, but willing to be obedient all the way. My friend, that's Jesus, Son of God, Savior of the world. That's Jesus who loved you and I so much that he went to the cross to take sin on himself. My sin, your sin. That is Jesus, the Son of God, who is faithful even unto death. We're told in Hebrews 11 and 12 to consider him for good reason. Because when we find the going tough, we only look to Jesus and our eyes fix on Jesus. We see one who's already gone ahead of us, who will then give us the strength to cope and the energy and the help and the encouragement we need to be faithful also. You understand that's through the work of his Holy Spirit. God who is faithful to the end. Now that connection is very important. But secondly, Lamentations. In fact, that was a reference to my grandmother I just forgot to make. Lovely verse in the Old Testament. If you don't know it, look it up, write it down and take it home with you. But it's that understanding that when all else is rubbish and all else is failing, God's love never fails. His compassions are new every morning. We're going to sing about that at the end of the service. Come with me to the second point. How do we measure faithfulness in us? If we've responded to God and God's at work in us and we're in relationship with Jesus, getting to know him. Well, here's the deal, that the best evidence of faithfulness is our own stewardship. Now, there's a word we don't use too often. Stewardship. But that verse, John read it a moment ago, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. The question is, do what? Well, he's going to make us faithful. Help us to be faithful. Well, what are we going to be doing is the question that's running through all of this. Well, if you look back to the earlier section of 1 Thessalonians 5, it's all about working hard, keeping going, and in a sense, the verse before, he, that's God, will sanctify you through and through. He will make us holy. He will make your whole spirit, soul, and body to be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. There's this just lovely sense of work in progress here. God working in each of us. Maybe you didn't even realize that till you came to church this morning. You hear this message from me just trying to sort of say it as best I can. God is working on us. His love so deep that he wants to reach out, to draw you to himself, to show you who he is. And there are two or three things I want to add to this, that as we start to learn how to steward, to serve him if you like, to be faithful, so he supplies the resources we need. Isn't that great news? God wants you to do a job if you like. Well, he's not just going to sling you off to get on with it. He's going to provide the resources you need to do the job to serve him. Look at this. Three things. Firstly, faithfulness connects the present with the future. Because how the Christian man or woman lives in the present will have a bearing upon our standing on that final day, one day when we will die, when we'll go and see God and have to give an account of our lives. Terrifying prospect. And yet the thought that his son Jesus has gone ahead of us. And he will advocate for us. And he will stand there for us and with us. And he will, as it were, explain to the Father in our defense that he took our death. He paid the penalty for our sin. He died our death. And what Paul is writing to the Thessalonians in chapter 5 there is that there is this connection between what will happen then and what's happening now. It's a regular theme in the teaching of Jesus about being faithful and keeping going. Every day counts. It's a challenge in faithfulness to remain loyal and dependable. But it extends further than just being stoically strong, you understand. It all comes down to what Naomi was so helpfully opening up for us with the children and for us all this morning. That God has given good gifts to each one. And how we use those gifts will have a bearing on that day, then when we see him face to face. Now this firm encouragement to check out our love quota is really important here. There's a verse in Proverbs 20 verse 6 that says, many a person claims to have unfailing love. But a faithful person, who can find? Where is the faithful man or woman is the question. And the challenge I bring to you briefly this morning is, what are you, what am I, I'm asking myself, doing with the stuff that God has entrusted to you? What are we doing? Paul writes elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, that we ought to be regarded as servants of God, servants of Christ. We ought to be regarded as those entrusted with the secret things of God. And then he says it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So tying it in with what we've seen already, I'm going to refer to that parable in Matthew 25 as well. Here's the challenge, friends. God has given you specific gifts, things, stuff, life. What are we doing with it? Are we being faithful? Is there a reliability? Is there a dependency? Is there a desire to complete the work that has been set for us? Remember with this that Jesus shifted the metaphor, and I want to secondly just say this. Faithfulness connects being servant and friend. So Jesus, when he's speaking to his disciples, his followers, preparing them for the future, he's reminding them that actually he's called them to be not just servants, but friends. And how that shifts it up a gear, the dignity of it all. To do the things that please the Master, not as obligation, but as friends. Like a child who trusts the parent, the worker who trusts the master. And into this principle is built more of the teaching of Jesus, the way God has designed things. Thirdly, that faithfulness connects the small with the great. I won't be long on this, but that parable Naomi brought to us this morning, Matthew 25 from verse 14 onwards, the parable of the talents as it's called. I don't need to repeat it, we've just heard it. But God has given different amounts to different individuals. That goes by way of saying. And the teaching that Jesus is pushing hard, linked with the Luke 16 reading that Mary just read. Whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with a little can also be dishonest with much. The little to the big. The small to the great. Now this of course challenges us at lots of levels, how honest we are, how honest we should be. It challenges our actions in the small things of life as well as the big. It puts the microscope on the stuff nobody else gets to see, but is there faithfulness behind closed doors? Like I was equating with the example of the marriage relationship. You can say, well, I'm married and I'm faithful, but in mind and heart be a million miles away. God is longing to work in the small that it would amplify in the big. I always think of that parable of the talents from an example that happened a few years ago when I used to work on the youth team of Spring Harvest, big Christian conference. And we'd have 1,000 young people in the venue down at Butlins in Minehead or whatever it's called now. But and one of my colleagues on the youth team, for his talk, wanted to make it vivid. And it's been done hundreds of times since, I know, but he'd arranged, pre-arranged, that under every seat in the auditorium was a £10 note in an envelope. And at the right point of his talk, talking of the talents, my friend challenges young people, have a look under your seats. Friends, don't bother this morning, all right? Just to assure you. Nothing there, but you get the point. And in true style of the parable of the talents, to take the £10... to go away and to see how they could multiply that talent over weeks and months ahead to go and help support the charity that we were supporting. Now it was great fun, great challenge. And of course some did, probably others didn't do anything just to prove the talent and the story Jesus tells. Really exciting. But you see, this call, and I think this is my problem with that example, is it was all for a quick burst of faithfulness. And what Jesus is talking about here is a long haul burst, if you can have that, of faithfulness. Faithfulness in the little things. Faithfulness over the months and the years to come. And Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 6 comes to my mind about how it's like faithfulness being like a necklace. We're to put it on. It's a great wedding passage. Often speak about it at weddings. Love and faithfulness never leave your neck. Put them on. Don't trust in your own understanding, Proverbs 3 says, but lean on the Lord. He will direct your paths and make them straight. You see, this teaching of Jesus goes straight for the jugular. We cannot mess around with the gifts, the talents, the things God gives us. Oh, it was a nice story Naomi told. Nice one. Fred and what was his name? I wrote them down. Ted and Julian. Brilliantly done this morning. But you know, the danger of church life is we can sit in there and think that was good. But the challenge of God's word, the challenge of Jesus teaching the word, is we don't have options here other than to do nothing, in which case we're lazy, and in which case there is a punishment in store, Jesus says. In days gone past, I say that this word stewardship has been used and it's not as popular now. But it needs to become popular. Faithfulness is not an abstract fruit of the Spirit. It shows up in how we deal with others, in how we deal with our money, our time, our resources, our priorities. And there are undoubtedly folk here in any group of people who will have gone for the third option, burying their stuff. Out of laziness perhaps or willful disobedience. And God says to us this morning, friends, what are you doing with it? What is this fruit cultivating in your lives? Let me, for just a moment or two longer, just do a bit of fruit cultivation analysis with you. Because I've looked inside again my life this morning. You see, examples help. How do we prove God in the small things of life? The small decisions, because they have an impact on the big. Small to the great. Those of us who have responsibility bringing our kids up, how do we teach them money? In terms of that actually God has given us all that we have. I don't know how you do pocket money with yours if you have young ones still. Perhaps a pound for every age that they are. Have we said to them yet that actually God has a part of that? A rightful part. Tithing perhaps, or even just the joyful giving. One generation telling another the faithfulness of the Lord. Oh, let's not reduce it just to the children. What about us in our adult mentalities and lives? How we operate in the small things of life, our integrity, our willingness to get stuck in even if nobody else is bothering and nobody else sees. Thank God for the servants who work behind the scenes, sticking in when things get tough. Or our speech. To speak the truth in love, to avoid deceit, to ask God to sharpen our conscience in things. You see, this is what I want to do as a practical end this morning, is a prayer to pray God that you would sharpen our consciences, that by His Holy Spirit, He has permission to nudge at something. Now, I speak from my experience. I don't know how it is for you, but I know I can quite easily dull those senses and not even go there. So I remember back to a phase in my 20s where I was really seeking God in a big way, like perhaps isn't as typical all the time, but should be. My prayer life was saying, Lord, I want to be so yours in the small things of life. I tell you the sorts of things it made for me was, one, I moved to Birmingham and I was willing to take a flat in a block of flats in a estate that nobody else would have, and it was unfurnished, and my family thought I was mad, and my friends thought I was mad, and I really didn't know if I was mad. But God, I felt, would call me there, and the point was being to live on the estate where the schools I was working in, as a Christian schools worker, I could live with the families and engage with them. And I tell you, I proved God supply a whole load of furniture one night from a lady going into an old people's home who just said, there's the whole house. And it was brought in a van and delivered, telly and all. Phenomenal. I'll give you another quick example, because these things sometimes help to earth it. I had a phone call while living in that flat. This is why this period is so vivid in my mind. It was a minister of a church, and he wanted me to go and take a youth weekend. Well, I'd only done one youth weekend before, and I wasn't very keen on the idea. Didn't particularly enjoy it. But God was nudging me to do these sorts of things. But I copped out. And I gave him this really rubbish, lame excuse, which is actually called a lie. And I said, I'm busy that weekend. I was not busy that weekend. I was just lying. And as I put the phone down, I just felt the Spirit of God say, that was a lie. And you say it was a stupid example. You could have told a white lie and all that. My friend, I see this is the business. God was prodding me. I had to ring that bloke back and say to him, I'm sorry, I've just told you a lie. I am free. I don't feel comfortable about doing the weekend. And for me, these were parts of the doors of permission to say, God, I want to be faithful in everything. And I still do, but I still get it wrong. And maybe you identify with some of that struggle. You see, what we're talking about here, what I've spoken about, is the attempt to be faithful in the small things of life and to trust God with our investments, all that we are. Faithfulness, connecting the small with the greater. Faithfulness, connecting being servant and friend. Faithfulness, connecting the present and the future. Thank God for God's faithful people who have served him here in this church over 170 years. You know, Jesus speaks to a church in Revelation, in Smyrna, in Revelation chapter 2. The end of the first century, and he says this, they're going through some terrible times. But he says, be faithful, even to the point of death. And I will give to you the crown of life. For us, for them, 21st century Christian man or woman, the prospect that by how we live now in our day-to-day routines and lives, one day when we see Jesus face to face, we will hear his words, well done, good and faithful servant.